today. Hey, everybody, it's Tim Gillette with the Tim Gillette Show, and we are back here with another great episode. Today, I get to interview a longtime Facebook friend. All right, we've seen each other in a lot of things, but this is the first time I get to have her on my show. And last night, I did a little research, you know what I mean? Just a little. I don't do a full research, but I do a little bit of research and realize, oh my gosh, I've known this person for a long time. All right. So Jody Krangle is her name. All right. And like I said, we've been Facebook friends for a long time, and it's going to be exciting to get to know her on camera, and I get to record it. And anyway, so let me bring her on. Hi, Jody.
Hi. Yeah, I guess we recorded for posterity.
Yes. We get to record. I see. I like this because it's like, to me, creating content is unique when you like learn surprises about somebody. Anyway,
totally, yeah.
And I've always loved creating it. To me, it's the best one-on-ones to do or on camera.
Yeah. You can see the other person's eyes.
Yes. Yes.
Even when I'm not actually recording the video in my interviews and on my podcast, I don't, but mm-hmm. I always like to have either a Zoom or a Squadcast meeting just so that when you're having the discussion, you can look into their eyes and see, you know, the facial expressions and everything that's going on when they're thinking of what they're thinking of. And it just makes for a better conversation.
Well, I mean, even when I was on the radio station in Phoenix, I loved it when we started using Blab to actually start recording, because now mm-hmm. I could look at my producer in the eye and talk to her as opposed to a phone conversation. And it felt really weird. And it was unique to be set up like that. So, but you're in the voice industry, but you like to see their eyes too. It's funny how that works.
I do. Most of the time when I'm doing my work, I'm like, you can see where I am. I'm in my sound booth, and basically it's like four padded walls. So when I'm reading a script or performing a script, it's, you know, me and the four padded walls. When I can see someone's face, that's actually a nice change.
Well, I mean, when it comes to voiceovers, all right. There's somebody else in the voiceover industry that I really, really love. And I listen to his podcasts like faithfully every day. Mm-hmm. But he's also known on TV, like your voice is known on TV. And that is Mike Rowe.
Oh, Mike Rowe. Yeah. He's great. Yeah. Yeah. What I love about him though, is he's always himself.
Yeah.
You know who he is, and he's never, you know, fake about it or whatever. Like you just, what you hear is what you get.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, I found it interesting because he's like the person, like literally through this whole pandemic thing, mm-hmm. I've caught into his podcast. And every time I hear a TV commercial with his voice into it, I know it's him now. Oh, yeah. And like on his podcast, he was talking something about going through a pandemic. And then he said, like, you know, I mean, how he was still getting some work and he was still doing voiceovers, but he was doing them from home. And then I heard the commercial that he did from home and I realized that's a different sound. He was in a different studio when he created that one.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny how when you're in this industry, you can hear those things mm-hmm. in studios. How intense can you hear it? I'm just curious.
It depends. When you're actually hearing the final version, it's rare that you would be able to tell exactly because there's so much production that goes into that by the time, you know, they've taken the raw voice and put it onto whatever it needs to go onto. Mm-hmm. That's why with a lot of voice actors, you know, the people who know them might have an idea of, you know, the fact that they're hearing that voice that they're familiar with, but people who don't know you maybe quite so well would think, oh, well, that's Jody, but that doesn't sound like Jody. Like, you know, because the production values are different for every product or project you work on. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's a fascinating process and everyone does it differently. So there's different ad agencies, there are different production companies. You know, one thing might be for a broadcast, another might be for a web video for a large company's website. All of these are produced differently. So it just depends.
Yeah. And I was noticed, I mean, you've been in this 13 years now. Yeah. And what got you even thinking about starting in this?
I've been a singer all my life. So I always thought that I wanted to use my voice for something. And Unfortunately, singing doesn't really make a living very well these days, or many days, unless you're Taylor Swift, which I am not.
Yeah.
It was always something I had in the back of my mind, and I've always liked communication in general and theater of the mind and all of that interesting stuff. And back in 95, 96, I actually did a volunteer year for the Canadian National Institute for the Blind. So I was reading books on tape, and it was actually reel-to-reel tape at that point. Yeah. I think we're the same age, actually. Yeah. So, yeah.
You say books on tape. All right. So basically, in the early 1990s, when I drove truck, I listened to books on tape. I mean, that was way before a podcast came out. And literally, we used to, at the truck stops, we could actually rent them, all right, and drop them off at the next truck stop. So I'm like, I listened to a series of tapes on books on tape like you wouldn't believe. I loved them.
So audiobook authors have been doing this for a long, long, long time. And that is such a cool idea that you could just like pick up one at one truck stop and then pick up, drop it off and pick up a new one. That's kind of cool.
but there were some that I bought because I really, really was into them. Mm-hmm. And that was, it was the guy who does the Motel 6 commercials.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Tom Baudette. I knew I'd remember his name. Okay. Tom Baudette did this series called End of the Road. Have you ever heard that one?
I haven't, no.
Oh, my. To me, that was like the first intriguing ones. And then I loved Paul Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Those are things that really tuned my ears up. And hearing them, they're people who had voices that they got my attention, mm-hmm. even when I was not able to see their faces.
Yeah.
So did that intrigue you? Or has that always been a thing for you or no? I'm curious.
Telling a story in a compelling way, yeah, that always has intrigued me. I tend to do the shorter form stuff. So so for me, anything that's over 5 minutes of finished audio is generally not in my wheelhouse.
Oh, so I can't get you to record my book now, huh?
No. No. I have some author friends and I've been asked a time or two, and I just have to, as much as I love them, I have to say no.
And it's well, for me, for my book, I would need a male person, but like some people are just not that good at reading their own stuff. Mm. I forget whose book I was listening to on Audible the other day. Mm-hmm. And it was a famous author, and I went, I don't like his voice.
Yeah.
Tim Ferriss. I love Tim Ferriss's stuff, but man, mm-hmm. I do not want to hear Tim Ferriss talk.
Yeah, I mean, it's different for everybody, right? We all have that initial, fingernails on a chalkboard mm-hmm. reaction to some types of sounds. So maybe someone's voice hits you that way.
Yeah. But can you take the sound of your own voice?
I've gotten used to it. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. I think in a lot of instances, really, it depends on what you're using it for. So depending on what I'm doing, I'm more happy with my voice than other times. So it depends. It really, but generally I've taken a lot of coaching as far as the voiceover is concerned. And I'm always learning more things about what I can do with my voice. And that fascinates me. So if that gets me past the sound of my own voice on a recording, sure.
I mean, for the longest time, I mean, I couldn't stand the sound of my own voice. I couldn't stand looking at myself on video. I hated it. All right.
I'm still
getting used to it, but I hated it.
Yeah.
And I've been known for saying, like, in the beginning, I loved blogging. I would rather write than be on video, but my audience wanted me on video.
Mm-hmm.
Were you that way? Is it you would rather be singing or you kind of love this now?
I really love this. Honestly, I find it as much a challenge as singing is. It's all in the persona, really. And it's kind of a persona that you're putting on behalf of someone else while still being you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's an interesting dichotomy there, because not only do you have to sell a product and, be genuine when you're selling that product, but you're still doing it as you.
Mm-hmm.
These are still emotions you're feeling. Getting that across is the trick, right? And getting it across quickly, because a lot of this stuff moves really fast. Mm-hmm. And being your own audio engineer at the same time, like that, you know, voiceover people wear a lot of hats.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in hats, I like, so like, you know, I was listening to like HGTV clips of yours last night.
Okay.
And, all right. Now, I've heard that those show clips forever because my wife and I watch HGTV, not knowing that was your voice. But like, that's an awful lot of in detail stuff. Is that like a script they basically writers, or do you do some of the writing and editing of the copy, or is that all scripted for you?
It's all scripted. Okay. The interesting thing about the HGTV stuff that I've done is I had to go out actually into a studio. Mm-hmm. The thing about a lot of those like home HGTV things is mm-hmm. that you'd be surprised how many of them are produced in Toronto.
Oh yeah, we figured that out.
Yeah, so a lot of them. So I actually would go into a downtown studio and I'd watch the video of the episode itself with timings and everything on them. And then you'd have to say your lines within that timing while still being a part of the action, you know? So there's a small bit of acting in there, and that you need to make it sound like it's a part of the show and you're commenting on the show. Mm-hmm. They helped direct me, obviously, but no, I didn't write any of the scripts or anything like that. But it's kind of like patting your head and rubbing your belly at the same time. it's a little like that. TV in show narration, yeah, that could be a little like that.
Well, getting into it, all right, would something like that, are you able to do a lot of that in like one take, or how many takes do you have to do it in? Like an actor may sometimes do 3 or 4 or 5 takes or 100 takes a scene.
Yeah. It depends on who's directing you and what they want to get from you and how fast you can get there. So part of the thing about being a voice actor is you need to be directable. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that is big. That's huge. Because if you can't take direction and you can't pivot when someone tells you to do so, you're going to be there for a long time. Well,
in my industry, you got to be coachable. I mean,
yeah, come on, exactly. It's the same deal. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I mean, so often I think I find people who are just, they refuse to be coachable. And you know what I mean? Then I look at someone like you and now I, you know what I mean? Years later, I find out all this stuff that is your work. I go, man, I can say, yeah, Jody's really great. Or I can say Jody is really coachable to be able to now knowing that what you had to do to put that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot that goes in. And I don't think anyone in either of our industries, I'm sure, ever stops coaching. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, you just, there's no reason to stop learning ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm curious, how did you start landing the gigs to do some of the TV voiceover work? Was that marketing on your part, or was that just like, what do they say? Not applying, but what is
the auditioning? Auditioning?
Auditioning. Yeah. I forget that word, auditioning.
Okay.
A lot of them.
I have to say like 80% of a voice actor's business is auditioning.
Wow.
Pretty much. Yeah. I had to learn my craft. I had to make sure I had a home studio that was broadcast quality and, you know, that they could use audio from whoever had the audio given to them. I needed to be able to know who I was enough and have a decent enough demo and good coaching that got me to that decent demo so that I had a good calling card, I guess is what you'd call it. And then after that, I needed an agent who had access to some of these auditions that mm-hmm. I didn't have. And the HGTV work definitely came from an agent. Mm-hmm. And to be able to get that agent, I had to demonstrate that I was going to make them money.
Uh-huh. Well,
I mean, sure. That's really the bottom line right there, right? You don't get an agent if they don't believe they can make, they can't make any money from you. They're, you know, they only get the percentage if you get jobs. So.
Yeah. And I totally see that. I mean, come on. I mean, who's going to represent you if you're not going to be top quality?
Yep.
I mean, but like I'm in the speaking realm and hosting speaking type events. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I've got agents in the speaking world pitching me all the time. And the ones who pitch me the good ones are the ones I listen to. And the ones who pitch me nothing but bad people, let's face it, I'm not calling them back.
Yeah. That's what happens in the voice agenting world too. Same thing. You know, if you can't give the people that you are trying to get voices for good voices, mm-hmm. Send them good stuff, then they're not going to ask you again. You only get so many chances. So I admire the work they do. It's a lot of work, especially now.
Well, yeah, I mean, and in this time right now, all right, are they pitching you for a lot more stuff, or are you kind of like, you know what I mean? Well, I'll take what I can get.
It depends. I'm kind of picky in what I take and what I audition for, because I know pretty closely now what I'm most suited for and what my rates should be. Mm-hmm. And if the project I'm being asked to audition for doesn't meet either of those criteria, I'm going to pass it by because I have other things to be doing. Mm-hmm. And some of that just involves marketing on my own. You know, I have a podcast that talks about audio branding that reaches out to my potential clients, honestly, because I want people to know in the industry that audio matters, that mm-hmm. the voice that they use should fit their branding, mm-hmm. and that the music they use should fit their branding, that they have a style that goes along with their logo that is also audio, not just visual. So that's, you know, if I can educate people on that, then maybe they'll give a little more consideration to the voice that they use in their projects. You mm-hmm. never know.
Well, I mean, I'm going to go check out your audio podcast, because that's the one thing I didn't download last night mm-hmm. was your audio podcast. But now that I know you have one, I'm going to go check it out. Mm-hmm. But in audio branding and sound and stuff, like one of my clients is getting big about, you know what I mean, helping people with their playlists to motivate them. And in his business, he's got a tricky thing. He can't play songs on his podcasts.
Yeah.
To help people, because that's licensed material.
Mm-hmm.
Is some of the voiceover stuff that you do licensed material, and do you own the license or do they own it?
It's all licensed material. In fact, the way that voice actors get paid is very similar to the way that musicians get paid when their songs are licensed. Mm-hmm. So I am not paid based on how long it takes me to do a job. I am paid based on where it's being shown geographically, whether it's broadcast or not broadcast, whether it is being used forever or if it's just on a website. There's a whole bunch of different options available, but generally you're going from broadcast, which is local, regional, or national, or could go international, you know, mm-hmm. that's a different thing entirely, or non-broadcast, which would be something for a company's website or a web explainer video that they may not be paying to promote, but is part of their social media. Mm-hmm. I consider paid placement to be broadcast in a way, because nowadays, especially, there are actually more people looking at the internet than there are watching television.
Yes. Yeah. I believe that. Yeah.
So it's, you know, there are a few rate guides out there. One in particular is called the GVAA rate guide. And it's a pretty global kind of, well, no, it's mostly for the US, but I'd say North America wide, it can pretty much handle what's out there. And mm-hmm. it gives you a good idea of the breakdowns so that other voice talent know what to charge, that it would be in line with what their colleagues are charging. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very important for the industry to stand by itself that way instead of letting the rates drop through the floor.
Yeah.
You know, in all industries, I'm sure the same thing, but you know, we got to stick together.
Yeah. And you know, and in this time, I mean, it's tough times for a lot of people. And those people who you know, watch our show, they've gone through some tough times. And it may not be your forte to give them advice, but what advice would you give them All right. In someone who's basically had to kill what you eat for your entire career.
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, I feel for anyone who's having a tough time right now, in a lot of different ways. And I can only relate so much. So I can empathize, which is what I'm going to be doing and hoping to be supportive to friends and that kind of thing. I think a lot of people are really hard on themselves if they're not handling this well. And one of the things that I can suggest is that you give yourself room to process, that you don't push yourself to constantly be productive every second of the day, because we're humans and that's not how humans work.
Yeah.
Just forgive yourself. You know, don't be so hard on yourself if you need to take an hour to just watch Netflix. Like, you know, do what you need to do.
Yeah.
And having had that little bit of whatever you need to do to relax, you can approach whatever problem it is you're coming at from a fresh perspective with a little more energy. And, you know, some people do that with playlists.
Yeah.
And there are all sorts of different ways. Meditation can do that too. And, you know, I'm not a meditation type of person, but I appreciate people who find comfort in that. However it works for you, just let yourself have that time and then approach the problems from a new perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's great advice. But I mean, a lot of people, they have to think about that. I always, on my TV, my office TV has CNBC playing all the time because of the fact of financial news.
Okay.
This morning, their news got turned to all the riots and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't want to hear it. I'm out. Mm-hmm. So I have a movie on right now.
Right? Yeah.
But no sound. All right.
Yeah.
But that's my peace getaway.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? What's your peace getaway? Do you have one or do you want to share one?
For me, it's silence.
Ah.
I just need peace. Just,
okay.
No, nothing on, nothing, you know, just, yeah. which I guess sounds really funny for someone who likes to sing. But the funny thing about it is, and I just find that if I'm listening to music, I can't just listen to it. I can't just sit back and let it wash over me.
Mm-hmm.
I have to analyze it. So for me, it's not a relaxing pastime. It's a, I'm listening to learn something, or I'm listening to get better at songwriting, or I'm listening to learn a particular technique, or I'm listening because I really like the song, but the lyrics are really pulling me in and I have to listen to those lyrics. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I can't just listen to a piece of music and let it go. So for me, that's not relaxing. My husband loves media wallpaper. That's what I kind of call it. Like, he'll have the TV on and his Nexus playing something and music blaring and like everything all at once. Mm-hmm. And he loves that. And it drives me insane.
Yeah. My through this, my wife's working in the house too. We only have a small condo. We don't have like a mansion or anything like that. And our condo has this, from the living room up to the second floor, is this very high ceiling. Mm-hmm. And then my office does not have doors on it. It's two doorways.
Uh-huh.
So whatever's said down there with hardwood floors echoes up.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah. And that echo up really, I mean, and she has a voice that'll carry more than mine will. So it's like we echo into each other's calls all day. Mm-hmm. Well, she has music playing. You can tell when she stops. She starts playing music. All right.
Yeah.
And when we built this house, we rebuilt this condo in 2018. One of the things we did was put sound in. So we have every room has the option of sound in this 1,100 square foot condo, seven speaker zones. Anyway, we needed that. All right. So basically, yeah.
Everybody needs different things. Yes.
It's what we wanted. But she listens to music. I used to listen to playlists. That used to be my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I found over the past 2 years that sometimes the silence is my space.
Yeah.
And it changes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I found that too about everything too, and being a creator. Like one of my coach, he has to listen to, he has to have music playing to help him create.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to have silence to help him create. It's like, yep. I don't turn that TV sound on unless, what's that story? I don't. I have to have the video playing. Now, you'll find this strange, but do you remember the MTV days?
Oh, yeah.
I used to have my TV playing with videos and just pause the, mute the sound and videos are playing. Figure that one out.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's kind of the best of both worlds if you think about it.
Well, do you have any strange things like that? Like me, like I will actually have music videos playing without the sound.
I don't know. Not like that, because I when I'm trying to focus, I do have silence. That's kind of my preference. I guess some people would find that strange, but I don't know. You know, I make my living from sound, but I need silence when I'm focusing.
Well, I mean, one of the questions I wrote down that I really did want to ask you, and that is, I mean, in our polar opposites world, all right, our political, I don't have to be political, but our political fighting world, have you ever had to read or do a voice acting for something that you didn't agree with?
Yeah, I have. And it depends on how much I disagree with it, but I don't know. It's a tough call. And if it was something I really found despicable, I would refuse the job. I mean, we all have our breaking points. I do remember having to do a political spot for someone that I wasn't warned beforehand what it was about. And I couldn't back out at the last minute because it was really last minute. And I just did it and held my nose and got paid. I mean, yeah, it's, also it has, like I'm Canadian. So, so when it comes to doing political stuff in the US, I sort of have, a reason to care, but it's not my country. So in the same sense, like I'm not making any judgments here. I'm just doing my job. So yeah, in some instances, if it was really heinous, I would say no. Mm-hmm. But generally the people I work with are good people and they're not going to ask me to do something heinous. Yeah. And I'm doing a job and I'm getting paid for it. And, ultimately that's what my job is.
Well, I mean, I think my point in asking that is like, you won't do certain ones, you don't want to be tied. You don't want your voice tied to that brand.
Yeah. That's kind of how it goes. Yeah. We all have brands that we want to maintain. And I think it's difficult for, if I'm only doing like a one-off, unless it's something I personally like feel ill doing, if it's a one-off, it's really rare that someone is going to recognize your voice and associate you with the brand. That's just a rare thing. If you're the voice of a brand, that's something else entirely, which I think more people should think about. But, whether or not you are, a one-off isn't generally going to associate with you with a brand forever.
Well, I mean, I think controversy but also could be in like the HGTV shows that you do, where basically it's one person against another. I have a personal favorite, but you never, I've listened to yours now, listen to your, knowing your voice, I realize you never voiced that you like, you prefer one over the other.
Well, it's almost like it's scripted reporting
too, but yeah.
Well, and it's scripted and I'm directed. So whoever is telling me what kind of tone they want, that's the tone they wanted. Mm-hmm. I'm giving them what they want. Yeah. So being able to interpret the words they're using to get them the performance that they want, that is being directable.
Mm-hmm. And I can just see, I mean, have you ever watched the show and went, well, I really want that one to win? And
Oh yeah. I mean, what happens with the television shows is you never really, as the voice actor, you don't see the whole show.
Yeah,
you only see the portions that you're doing your narration over, right? So I'm not watching the whole show as I'm performing. I only get to do that later. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, that's why they had me do that.
So yeah, it's, when you watch your finished, when you, I mean, yeah, when you watch the finished product, you sit there and go, Oh, yeah, they manipulated my voice to get me to do that.
Well, yes and no. I mean, all of these reality shows aren't really reality. We all know that, right? I mean,
I do, but anyway.
They're staged to a certain extent, and the extremes are brought out, let's say. That happens in a lot of instances. but yeah, you are being manipulated in a way. That's what happens in these shows. So it's meant to look like reality, but really a lot of it is staged.
Now, I have one of my oldest friends had his own reality show as well, as he was on some of them. Mm-hmm. And then he's been on some of the even HGTV shows. But then I have another friend who's on was on Discovery Networks here in Dallas. And actually, when I was starting 10 years ago, I was at a function where he was there and they were recording. Mm-hmm. And I'm standing back there watching the recording, all right, and watching the whole script. I mean, I watched him stand there and plan the script out, mm-hmm. record it, all right, and then do it. And then I watched it on TV 6 months later. I was like, that really wasn't what was happening, but oh my God, that now I understand it. And, yeah. And I see what they make him out to be. Mm-hmm. But voice, you know what I mean? I wonder how much they're coaching them and how to put the voice out in what they're doing as well. Anyway, whole other topic.
There's a lot of coaching. Yeah.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you've been doing this for years. All right. You got some other interests. All right. What are the people that you want to do work for that are independent, not the TV, but like, you know, web designers and stuff like that. What are those people that you really want to work with?
I love working with ad agencies, actually. The reason being that they see a lot of different clients. Mm-hmm. And so the work is different every day, which I love. But in particular, I work with a lot of healthcare clients and finance clients, mm-hmm. and just love both industries for a lot of different reasons. But I'm enjoying that kind of work. And video production companies also have the same kind of deal where every day is different and it depends on the clients that you're working with. And it always depends on whether or not my voice fits the client's brand. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yeah, it depends on what a client is after and what kind of feel they want to match their company image.
Okay. And along that, I mean, getting the right feel and stuff, Are you mentoring anyone else in this field to help bring them up into it right now?
I have in the past, and I enjoy doing that when someone actually is motivated to follow through. I get a lot of people asking me how to get in the business, and then I give them a full list of things, and it's a long list, and I hear nothing. And that's usually what happens because it's a lot of work. Yeah. And it's not inexpensive either. This is an expensive type of career to have, because you need the recording space, you need the mic, you need all of the equipment that goes with that, because you need to have a home studio, you need to learn how to be your own audio engineer, you need to act like a business and invoice on a regular basis and pay attention to your taxes because you're self-employed. Yeah. You need to be able to outsource things if you need to, like writing some content. To be your own media empire really is what having a brand these days is kind of all about. And it's kind of imperative for you to be heard and found just about everywhere that your clients might see or hear you. Mm-hmm. And to do that, it's a lot of work. And not only that, but you need to make yourself a demo, which demonstrates not necessarily the work you've done, but the work you want to be doing. So it'll show clients what you can do and what you would like to be doing. And it's your calling card. It's a lot like a business card for anyone else. Mm-hmm. It you know, like a portfolio. It shows what you can do in audio format. And those demos are not cheap. And neither is the coaching that gets you to the point where you can make those demos. So, you know, and it's a constant coaching thing. It never ends. And it's expensive. So if you're not dedicated, you're probably not going to know. You're probably not going to go a whole lot of places.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, the coaches and the stuff like that. How many different coaches do you have that you're working with? Like, you know, vocal coach, things like that.
Not at the same time. I tend to work with one voice coach at a time, but I worked with one for 2 years and I'm still taking coaching every once in a while with different coaches that there's a website called voiceoverextra.com and it's XTRA.com. And that is a really great resource for people to check out what the industry is about, mm-hmm. who the reputable coaches are, and, you know, some inexpensive webinars that you could check out for like $50, you know, like not a big deal there, and see if it's right for you, if that's something that you want to get into, and you can do the research on your own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and, you know, the coaches and the stuff that you've gone through and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Did you have to learn different other speaking styles or anything like that? Or was it just some of the coaches that were just voice?
It's less about speaking styles and more about being your own genuine self while you're advertising. Yeah. A lot of what advertising is these days is trying to be authentic while selling a product, because it's difficult. And theater of the mind is a lot of it, but being authentically yourself while you're doing that is also another part of it. And that is harder to do than you think. It's especially harder to do than you think when you're inside a padded room talking into a mic with headphones on your head. Like, it's completely just not real. What you're in is just completely not real. And you have to make it sound real while being yourself.
Okay.
There's so, a lot that goes into that. That takes coaching.
well, along that lines, all right, with a little twist is like being real, being coached, being able to go through all that. What is your biggest challenge that you went through in building this?
You know, coming to the realization that being me was okay. There's a lot that, and heck, that comes with age. I mean, you know, you've probably experienced this too. Mm-hmm. As you go through life, you understand and you start to understand as time passes that it's less important to be perfect and more important to be real.
Yeah.
And being real and being authentically yourself at the same time is hard, because a lot of us are comparing ourselves to each other. We're trying to get things accomplished that we don't think we can get accomplished. We're holding ourselves back. But there comes a point in your life where you just have to say, I'm me, and you can take it or leave it. And there's a certain amount of freedom that comes with understanding that. And relating that to voiceover, when you're auditioning and you're trying to sound like someone else, people can hear it. They can hear it. It's there. You know, it's almost as identifiable as looking into someone's face while they're not being themselves. Yeah. And it's not going to get you the job, first of all. So what I have to now keep in mind, and it's becoming less and less difficult to do over the years, and as I get more training and as I get more comfortable with my instrument, mm-hmm. is that I need to do an audition as I would do it and not worry about whether or not the client is going to pick me, because it's a completely subjective determination, first of all. And if they feel that I would authentically represent their brand well, that's great. I'm happy to do a job with them and would love to represent them. If they don't feel that, they're going to know it in the first 3 seconds of hearing my voice. Mm-hmm. And that's it. No matter what acting I do, you know, it's either going to happen or not. And I have to accept that and just do what I'm going to do and accept the consequences, you know?
Wow. Wow. So, I mean, you talk a lot about, you know, being yourselves and you know what I mean? And it was something that, you know, you had to challenge. What would you recommend to someone who does want to get into this?
Into voiceover?
Yeah, into voiceover acting.
I would say that voiceoverextra.com website is probably the best place to go, because it will give you the state of the industry in a really easy to understand format basically, it's a big website that has a whole bunch of resources having to do with voiceovers and the business of voiceovers and the performance of voiceovers. Cool. And it's a delicate balance because you need to have both. You need to have the performance and you need to be a business person. These days, it used to not be the case.
Yeah.
You used to be able to just go into a studio and do what you love doing, and that's it. You didn't need to worry about anything else. Nowadays, nope, sorry. That's not how it is anymore.
And I actually have a friend who actually has kids going to school for something else, but he told his children he would pay for their college that if they whatever major they wanted, but they also had to take business as a minor. So they understood running it as a business.
Yeah.
Let me ask this: what equipment do you use, or do you like to share that? You know, what personal equipment do you have that you recommend?
The equipment that I have is pretty expensive, so I don't know if I would suggest it for people just starting out. But I'm using a Sennheiser 416 shotgun mic, and it's basically the same kind of mic that you would see on a boom with a film crew.
Okay.
And the reason that I'm using it is it's kind of a standard for the voiceover industry at this point, because a lot of promo people, the people who are announcing in between the television shows and announcing the new television shows coming up and that kind of thing, those promo people use the shotgun mics a lot because the voice pops quite nicely. Mm-hmm. It's nicely out front. I also have a TLM 103, which is a Neumann mic, and it's a beautiful mic. It's a large condenser mic. These are both condenser mics. And it's used for singing more often than not, because the shotgun mic doesn't work for singing.
You know what I mean? I guess, you know, the studio yourself, all right, do you actually, you know, is that just a small thing you have around you, or do you really have a studio?
It's a 5x4 enclosed sound treated booth.
Oh, okay.
And it was custom made for me. So we sort of did it modular, actually. Each of my walls are two pieces and they're screwed together, and then the door, and then you have the ceiling on the floor. And the reason we did that was to sort of emulate what's another type of booth, which is called studio bricks. Mm-hmm. And it's a very expensive type of studio build that kind of puts the booth together like Lego almost. Things slot in together. And so I wanted to be able to take this with me, heavy as it is, if I moved. Okay. So it's not built into the wall. It's like a room within a room. Mm-hmm. So each of these walls can be unscrewed and taken apart. The door, the ceiling, the floor, they can all be taken apart and brought elsewhere.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, I've gotten every one of my little notes here crossed off that I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
I do want to say, though, you know what I mean? It's been a joy having you on here. Tell everybody, I mean, if they want to find out more about you and services you provide, what is the best website that they can reach you at?
That would be voiceoversandvocals.com. Yeah, voiceovers, plural.
with an S, all right, for third grade minds like mine.
Yes.
That's something I didn't ask you. How much education do you have before you get into this?
Before I got into this, yeah. I have a BA, but I only did a 3-year degree.
Okay.
So, yeah, but like English.
I have no degrees and people are still.
I have an English literature degree. Woohoo. What does that qualify me to do? Drive a cab? I don't know.
Hey, I went to truck driving school. So
okay. There you go. Yeah. I could drive a truck, maybe.
I can, but I can't anymore. So okay. I didn't even finish paying off. I don't remember how much money I borrowed, but for my school loans, I had a seizure, epileptic seizure, like 2.5 years into my truck driving career. And
oh my goodness,
it was over. I was done. So,
wow.
Yeah. I'm just out of the industry, and I have been almost 30 years. Hey, it's Ross Brand.
Hey, Ross.
Good guy, man. Great mutual friend. I've got to get him on and interview him on my show. But anyway.
Yeah.
Good guy. So much. My husband has wanted to do this for years.
Sure.
Oh, I haven't seen Jody in a while. And then we have, Jody does have nice work, Doug Kale. All right. So those are our comments.
Thank you, Doug.
You know, Doug,
I don't think.
It's interesting. I make my broadcast available on Facebook to be open so my guests can share them. Yeah. And I find it, that's how I meet new people. Anyway, what a cool idea.
You never know who you're going to see.
Don't. So, well, I mean, this has been entertaining and it's been fun, but I've got to finish up my podcast with my famous game. Okay. And that is called This or That.
Okay.
Now, I've seen Sammy Hagar do this on his TV show, and I thought, hey, I'm cooler than Sammy Hagar.
okay.
And I usually put that question in there, which it's not in today's, but I usually put that in there. Who is better in Van Halen, Sammy or Dave?
I wouldn't be able to tell you.
You don't know, you don't care.
Okay. I don't know the names, put it that way. Okay. I like Van Halen, but I don't know
that one in my this or that questions. But anyway, I give you two choices. You tell me which one you prefer.
Okay.
I promise not all of them are fun, but some of them are controversial.
Okay.
I got to have fun with it. So I start off with to find out who my nerds and geeks are, and that is Star Wars or Star Trek.
Oh, both. Come on. Jeez, don't make me pick.
It's funny. That's my first one always. And I've only had, I think, in the hundreds of interviews I've done, I've had one or two go, who? What?
Really?
Almost everybody knows Star Wars or Star Trek.
Oh, now. My goodness. No, I'm a huge geek, media geek. Yeah.
I wasn't, but I have been over the past 10 years. So anyway, my next one here is kind of a ladies type question. And that is do you wear the heels or boots?
Boots.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Heels suck. They seriously are awful.
Like those country Western boots like Tim wears?
I do have a couple of cowboy boots and I got them in Nashville, which is a wonderful, wonderful city.
I actually have my most pristine pair are from Nashville. Mm-hmm. However, I got them in California.
Okay.
The lady who used to be my fashion designer and friend had for a client in Nashville, he needed boots for something and he went and had them custom made for him, wore them one time to an affair or dinner in Nashville, and then gave them to her and said, here, get rid of them.
Oh my God.
She paid like $1,000 to have them made. And I got them. She gave them to me for $300. I'm like, that was a steal.
Yeah. Anyway. And those boots are made to last.
Oh yeah. They're my most comfortable pair.
Yeah. That's insane. Okay. That was a stupid waste of boots from that guy. He missed out. You benefited.
I cashed in on that gal.
Yeah, you did the right thing.
So my next one kind of relates to the things that we're doing right now. And that was podcast or book.
You know what? That's a hard one for me because I have a podcast, but I don't actually listen to them all that often. Isn't that awful? I do tend to read books more often.
Okay. That's all right. You're allowed.
It's kind of like being a singer and not listening to music. Same kind of thing.
One of my old friends was connected to Don Felder, who used to play with the Eagles. Mm-hmm. And Don actually said when he's writing new music, he doesn't listen to anybody's music.
Oh yeah. And I get that totally.
Down because he doesn't want his music to even have a tinge of sound of the other person. So my next one here goes into some food products, and that is tacos or hamburger.
Hamburger.
I will gladly pay you on Tuesday for a hamburger.
Oh, yeah. Good burger. Yeah. Oh, also, I'm keto, so the tacos are a bit hard.
Anyway, moving on. Mac or PC?
PC.
PC.
Sorry.
Don't even have an iPhone, do you?
I don't. I actually have an iPad, believe it or not, but I inherited it from my parents. So I never actually like bought it myself.
No, I some of the things that I like, if I'm a vendor at an event, I actually give away an iPad. It's a list builder for me. I put names in and I draw a name out and give an iPad away. Mm-hmm. And I gave one away at an event in California, probably about a year and a half ago. And the guy who came up and won it, hates Macs. hates Macs, hates Apple products. And I'm like, dude, why did you enter a drawing for a Apple product?
I don't know. I don't hate them. And thank you, Larry. You got my heart there. Yeah. I don't hate them. I just don't understand them the way that I understand PC. I've known PC since DOS, and I used to sell the hardware when the 386SX was new.
Yeah.
So I know it from way, way, way back. And it's just where I'm comfortable. So
now I got in 2012, I adapted little by little, and now everything I have is Mac, and mm-hmm. I don't have any PC stuff or Android stuff left.
Yeah. And you know, you're not the first person I've heard say that, but I just, and it may yet come to that, because I think right now it's hard to justify going with PC in a lot of ways, but I'm still figuring it out.
Yeah. So let me move on to the next one. Drinks. Would you rather have beer or wine?
Oh, wine. Definitely. I'm not a beer drinker at all.
Red wine or white wine?
Red.
Red?
Yeah. Although I don't have it all that often, because doing keto, you tend to process alcohol in a different way. And so I'm a really cheap drunk right now.
I'm not. In my office, it's a bottle of moonshine, and I can sip on it all day long. And
okay. I admire that, but yeah. And the thing about red wine is I can have one glass, but even that one glass will give me a headache.
Wow.
If I don't drink enough water, like during, after, whatever, I'll end up with a headache. So actually I tend to have martinis more than anything else.
That because is a golden thing in our house. But anyway,
vodka's fine. I can have my one vodka and I'm fine. But yeah.
Well, I understand why I'm the way I am, because my father came, I mean, this is the early 2000s. He came to Dallas for something, and he stayed at my house, mm-hmm. and he was let in early by my neighbor while I was at work. Well, I get home 4 or 5 hours later, and we were like, let's go to dinner, Dad. I was single at the time, and he's like, yeah, we got to stop and get more vodka. And I'm like, Dad, there's a full bottle in the freezer. And he goes,
he'd already
there
have
was
it.
A full bottle in the freezer. I'm like, Dad, you've been here for 4 hours.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And you know, like, my grandmother was on my dad's side, was kind of like that. She always had like a bottle of vodka in the freezer. Like it was always there. I honestly don't know.
Died at 70 years of age, heart disease. But anyway, yeah.
Oh, she was definitely in her late 80s. So yeah, she enjoyed life.
So my next one goes on to some controversial subjects. The next one is pineapple on pizza. Yes or no?
I would say I kind of liked it when I was eating pizza. Yeah. I actually didn't mind it. I wouldn't have it now, but okay. I don't have any like, you know, real objections.
Yeah, well, some people fight over it. No, that doesn't.
Yeah, I don't find that controversial.
So this next one can be controversial, because uh-huh. I've had people really have opinions on this one, and that is the toilet paper. Does it go over on the roll or under?
I don't care, as long as I can reach it.
Well, I have it. I'm good.
It could be sitting on the counter. I don't. I don't care.
That's the best answers. You're my new quota. Yeah. Okay. My last one, and that is boxers or briefs.
Really? I'm not talking about my underwear on here.
This is what you prefer. It may not be yours. Maybe your husband wearing, or you prefer the husband to wear. He's taking notes.
He can wear whatever he is comfortable in. That is the least of my concern.
He's about to walk into your office with nothing on. Just saying. Yeah. Okay. You're okay with that too. Yeah. Okay.
Works for me.
Well, Jody, this has been fun. All right. I do appreciate you coming on the show. Make sure everybody say your website one more time so that we can, everybody, even the audio, can hear it.
Sure. It is voiceoversandvocals.com.
Okay. Jody, it has been a joy having you on today. And really, you gave us some great information about voiceovers. And guys, if you want, those of you who are in the audience, if you want to find out more about Jodi and her, what she does, and see some of the great work that she has done, by all means, go to voiceoversandvocals.com. Visit her, connect with her. All right. Go listen to her podcast and check her out. I'm Tim Gillette with the Tim Gillette Show. Be sure and subscribe over on Apple Podcasts or on YouTube. And it's just basically timgillette.com/Apple or timgillette.com/YouTube. And you can subscribe to our channels there. I'm Tim Gillette with the Tim Gillette Show, and we'll see you next time. Bye now.